Blog Talk Radio.
Yahushua HaMashiach. Abba, we thank you for allowing us, those who are alive today, to enter into this 12th month of Adar. Hallelujah. Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for our lives in general. We thank you for the mercy, passion, that you extend to us from day to day. Abba, oftentimes we take for granted the loving kindness that you show towards humanity. But we want to thank you for that, Abba. We want to express that we appreciate your graciousness. And we ask you, Abba, to continue forgiving us for the wrongs that we do from day to day. We ask you, Abba, to cleanse us and to wash us, Abba, by the blood of Yahushua, of our iniquity. Abba, we thank you for the strength that you provide for us from day to day. And we ask you to continue providing that strength so that we can overcome the difficulties that we face spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, Abba. Abba, we ask you to help us to remain steadfast in our walk. We don't want to go astray to the right or to the left, but oftentimes we get tripped up in the various obstacles that are placed before us, Abba. And we lose sight sometimes, Abba, on which way we need to go. According to your word, Abba, you said it is a lamp to our feet and it is a light to our path. So we ask you to continue leading us and guiding us, Abba, by your spirit. And when we go astray, as we often do, through your loving kindness, Abba, through your compassion, we beseech you to correct us. Abba, we continue to offer up prayers for Ema Debbie, for her recovery. We offer praise and thanksgiving to you, Abba. We have two new members of the family, Mure Sheba'al, that's had a grandson that he welcomed into the world, and likewise, Achi Baruch, also had a grandson that he welcomed into the world. So we thank you for the new life, Abba, that you have bestowed upon the sons and the daughters of Israel. Abba, as we discuss your word tonight, as always, we pray that you lead us and guide us by your spirit in all things. And we pray that throughout the course of this month, you prepare our hearts and our minds to enter into Abib, that we may renew our relationship with you, Abba, through Yahushua HaMashiach on Pesach, which is soon to come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Have you accepted Yahushua as your Savior and as your Redeemer? Hallelujah. Praise, glory, and honor be to the Most High, and I thank him once again for giving me this opportunity to stand before him to share with you what he shares with me. And had an interesting conversation with Abba earlier today, interesting enough, you know. And I've been trying to stay active for the most part. I can't just stay in the house, so I have to find something to do. So I started going back to the gym. I quit, you know, sometime after being terminated, but started going back to the gym to, again, keep my mind occupied opposed to just sitting around in the house all day. But earlier today, when I was on the treadmill, you know, and at the gym, basically they got, you know, televisions lined up across the room, you know, and whatever it is that you're into, they got a television up there showing what it is that you want to see. So I was in the gym on a treadmill, and I wasn't watching anything in particular, but just scanning back and forth, looking at all of these different shows that's on television, and then looking at all the different people that's in the gym. And you know what the question was that came to my mind? All that we do. And I just started thinking about why anybody does what they do. And I believe I shared a scenario with you all before. Sometimes when I'm driving or when I'm, you know, someplace stationary even, and I'm just watching people, and I just think, what's on this person's mind? What happens with this person once they leave my eyesight? What is their life like? And you know, I do that with different people that walk by, and sometimes I just have to, you know, pull it back in because it can be very expansive when you look at things that way. But I have to give praise, glory, and honor to the Creator because one of the things that he said in his word is that if we continue in his word, then are we his Talmudim, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. And that is a true statement. But the only way we prove whether or not that statement is in fact true, you have to do what it says. Pin you in his word. And that's the emphasis. Continue in his word. Because when we continue with him, what we have to start to see, we, whoever we are, we begin to break away. Because he starts to uplift your heart and he starts to uplift your mind and you start to see things a little differently. And that is a true statement. You know, and while I was at the gym, another question came to my mind. What is the meaning of life? And it tied into everything that was going on, as I just explained. What is the meaning of life? And that is a philosophical question that philosophers have been pondering for years. And when you think about the philosophy, think about people who love philosophy and they get into the study of the philosophers. You know what I find interesting? None of the people who were inspired to write Holy Scripture are included. Because when you think about it, there's a mindset among people today. It's religion versus philosophy. Now, when I say philosophy, we understand what that means. Philo, Sophie, you know, the love of Sophia. We understand what that is, or wisdom, if you prefer. But when you think about that name, philosophy, and you think about the idea of the love of wisdom, well, isn't that what the Creator teaches us, his people, to love wisdom? Why is it that the knowledge and the understanding that we gain from studying the word of the Most High is not considered to be in the same line as other philosophical thinkers? Because you're talking about philosophy. You know, and when you think about, for example, I sent out a text Monday early this week. I can't even remember which day it was, but I know I sent out a text. And what the text was about was the reality of this world system, you know. Because when people think about us today, and then they refer to the people long ago, some people have the misconception that things that we are being taught in the Bible that millennia ago, people used to actually live that way. But that's not true. See, when we, because we have been walking with the Creator for some time, and when we actually look at what the Holy Scripture has been teaching us, when man was initially created and put in that garden, Adam, Hawa, they were perfect. They were like innocent little children. See, that was the only time in the period of human history where humanity as a whole could be looked at and considered to be righteous. That's the only time. After that old serpent got involved, and after they partook of the forbidden fruit, humanity as a whole has never been righteous. And Abba said so in his word. We've never been righteous. Matter of fact, I believe there's a passage that goes, there is none righteous, no, not one. If we believe that Holy Scripture is the truth. But again, going back to the mindset, people, they think about people during Bible time as if they were doing these things. No, they weren't. The Creator, He gave a word. He gave a system, a lifestyle, if you will, to a very specified group of people because of a promise he made to a man. And he gave them this way of life with the intent and purpose of them living according to this way of life, with the intent and purpose that these people become a light to the rest of the world. But when we look at the history that we have in Holy Scripture, that is not what happened. A few did, as always. You know, we often use the term faithful few. A few people did strive to live that righteous lifestyle, but the vast majority of them did not. They didn't. But they were a blessed people, our forefathers. We who adhere to Holy Scripture are a blessed people, in spite of what everybody in the world says around you. You know, I was thinking about tonight when I got the call to go on and touch on the truth about Christianity, because we had another one in the chamber for that. But Abba said, I think they got the point. You know, and basically what the point is this. When it comes to the word of the Most High, the only qualified teachers of the word are those whom the Creator chooses to teach his word. That is a truth that is substantiated in Holy Scripture that can be easily proven, but at the same time, it is a truth that a lot of people don't like to hear. But that is the system. That is the order, as we've been talking about in the lessons about the priesthood. You see? But Abba said, you know, let's talk to him. Share with them some of the things that we talk. What he's been helping me to see is about life. Well, brother, we all learning about life. You absolutely, positively, indubitably correct. Every human being, when we're living in this existence, you know what we're doing? We're learning about life. But again, sometimes we take that for granted. You know, had an opportunity to talk to my son again, and I hadn't shared with him what I shared with you all this past Shabbat. But just listening to him, I could hear it. Oh, I'm so proud. When I get an opportunity to talk to him by himself, I want to share some things with him. He's learning. But what I've realized is this is the route that it took for him to get to that mindset. And that's what I mean about life. You know, I actually shared this with my son earlier today when we were talking, and I'm going to share this with you all. I understand my wife better now than I did when she was alive. Now, some of you may hear that and say, that doesn't make sense. But let me explain what the problem was with me, okay? There were times when my wife would share different things with me. But what would happen, here comes the teacher. You see, here comes the son of Elohim. And what I wanted to do, my focal point was to give her the word in a form of fashion so that she gets out of that mindset that she was in. It was helpful to her, before I say that, but, and she said as much, you know, numerous times, she said as much. But I didn't grasp the reality of what she was going through until Abba had me sitting down earlier this week going through different things in this mind of mine. And he was putting pieces together for me, and he was helping me see this bigger picture. And now I got it. And this is what the problem was. it wasn't bad that I wanted to share the word with her to help her get out of that mindset because it was helpful. But the other part was the lack of understanding. You see, and this is to people. You know, I could say it's to marriage couples. I could say, you know, husbands listen to this or wives listen to this. But it's just to people, you know. And one of the things that I'm coming to better understand about communication, how important it is to listen. Because in people's words, they are telling you, they are communicating to you what you need to know. But we have to sometimes listen to hear where they're coming from. And that's what I didn't do. I was so focused on trying to help her get out of that I wasn't taking the time to really listen and understand where she was at. But now I do. You know, and I wish I could talk to her about it, but so goes life, you know. So goes life. But what is the meaning of life? And that's the thought that I've put on my heart and my mind, you know, question people have been asking for years, but the answer has been here. Uh-oh. Looks like I'm still on the line. Okay, it says that I'm back. Something else must have happened because I never heard it click up. Well, you know, normally it's hanged up. I hear it hang up on me, but I didn't hear it hang up. So my apologies for the technical difficulty. Albert Willing. Okay. Albert Willing will be able to get through the remainder. Okay. Told Albert by Aki. Amen. Back to what Albert was talking to me about, you know, the meaning of life. And, you know, I was getting into a mindset earlier that, you know, like I said, looking at everything and everybody, it's like watching, you know, they had, for example, the sports channel on. And I've seen so much sports coverage throughout the course of my life, but it's the same thing. Somebody's making some type of play, somebody talking about this play that was made, and it's the same thing over and over and over. This team, this sport, that sport, it's the same thing. How many television shows are you going to watch? You know, and when you think about people in the TV industry, they always trying to come up with brand new shows to get people hooked, to keep people coming. Because that's their big breadwinner. That's how they make money. They always have to think about new movies to make, to keep people coming to the theaters. Authors are always trying to come up with different stories. That's why things become so repetitive. Because it seems as though people are running out of ideas, and because there's a lack of ideas, so now they got to start going off on, you know, all these different fringe thoughts and beliefs, and just thinking about that. And if you can just imagine being bombarded with all these different thoughts at the same time. And then it's like you come to a halt and say, stop! I didn't say that, of course, but in your mind, what's the point of all of this? Why are we doing these things? You know, and there's a game that my son turned me on to. It's called Horizon. And I like playing this game, you know. But through the first game, now, you know, going through the second game. But it's like, in the game, there's always going to be some other mission that you have to do. There's always going to be some other side quest that you have to do. And when you think about, it's like the word that came to my mind, which I realized it wasn't a correct term, but hopefully when I mention this term, it'll be understood by everybody. The first term that came to my mind was redundant. It begins to seem redundant to me. And all of this happened. It's amazing how the mind works. All of this was happening while I'm on the treadmill. This is the thoughts that was coming through, you know. Redundancy. But then the thought, I found the word, rather, and then the thought became monotonous. You know, and then I start thinking about myself because I had a conversation with my niece last night. She was just checking on me to see how I was doing. And she just started getting into traveling. And she asked me about traveling. And I said, no, I'm not even interested in traveling anymore. So that began the process of thinking, well, why aren't you interested in traveling anymore? And it's like, well, once you've been to one beach with the white sand and the water so clear that when you walk in the water, you can still see your feet. Once you done settled on the beach and you done had waiters or waitresses bring you drinks while you chilling with your feet up on the long chair that's soaking up the sun. When you get too hot, you run out there, jump in that nice clean water, cool down a little bit, come back up to the chair, get warm again, drink a little more, get hot again, run back out. And, you know, just thinking about it in that capacity. You can do that on any beach. Now, of course, not any beach. Now, we haven't been to some filthy beaches, true. But I'm talking about whether you go to Miami, whether you go to Costa Rica, whether you go to Mexico, whether you go to wheresoever, and the beaches are sandy, and it's that same old ocean water coming up and going down, coming up and going down. Rum is rum. No, it ain't, brother. You got your top shelf and your bottom shelf. I understand that. But alcoholic beverage is alcoholic beverage wherever you go. It gets you to the same exact same point, intoxicated. You know, how many clubs you going to go to? You go to, at some point, they're going to be cycling the same old music. You see, for people that's out there in the world, how many women you going to lay with? How many men you going to lay with? Point of it all, what after we do all of this, what do we get from that? What's the benefit we derive from? It's fun for a moment. All we are doing, we create memories. That's all of it. It's a memory. Once it's done, it's done. I remember going to Punta Cana a couple years ago. Whatever I experienced there, it's far and it's gone. It's just in the back of my mind. It's a memory now. I remember last year, we as a family, we went to Six Flags. It was fun. It's a memory. What benefit does it serve me? Now, let me say this. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to an amusement park or going to the beach or, you know, having fun and enjoying life, whatever it is that you like to do, play your video game, watch your sports, whatever it is. I'm not saying don't do that. Because when you think about the option, we need to do something, you know. And another point, too, our minds are not going to be totally enveloped by the word of the Most High 24/7. That's the other reality. Now, what I mean by that is this. We're not going to be walking around in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, and we're going to be just quoting scriptures throughout the course of the day. Then we go to sleep, and we wake up, and we back up where we stopped at, and we just quoting scriptures all throughout the day. That's not how life is. And the Creator understands that. We can dedicate our lives to the Creator. We understand what that means. See, there's certain parameters now that we're going to live by. If I want to go out and get something to eat, I know what I can eat and what I can't eat. I know what I should and shouldn't do. In other words, those are the parameters that we've been given when he gave Israel this specific lifestyle. You see? And that's what it's about, style of living. But Lenny, did I say my name? I was trying to say Lenny. That's funny. But let me get to what Abba led me to. Our very own in-house philosopher. Name is Brother Shlomo. See? See? He was a philosopher. Why isn't Michelet talked about when you talk about the great philosopher? You know, they'll talk about Aristotle. They'll talk about Socrates and Plato. And if you want to bring it up a little more up to date, they'll talk about Kierkegaard and Nietzsche and Camus, et cetera. They'll talk about all these philosophers, but they never talk about good old Shlomo. They don't talk about Kohelet, which is what we're going to get into. And I will willing, when my time comes back around, we're going to spend a little time in this writing that Brother Shlomo left for us. So this is Ecclesiastes, for those who didn't know, Kohelet and Ibrit. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1, contemporary English version, and I just like the way that it was worded, and you'll see why when I read it. When the son of David was king in Jerusalem, he was known to be very wise, and he said, nothing makes sense. Brother Shlomo came to that conclusion long before I was even thought of. And that's what I mean as far as, you know, when you continue in his word and you then are you his Talmid, you're his student, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, at some point, but and what I mean by that, let me just expound a little bit more, then we get back to that reading. See, when we walk with the Creator, eventually the prophets of old and how they started to see things, guess what? We're going to start to see things just like them, and it's not because you read it in the book. It's because I will start to open your eyes, and you start to see the way he sees, and then you start to get the realization. That's the same thing Brother Shlomo was talking about. Now I know why he said that. When you think about Shlomo, let's compare Shlomo to a multi-billionaire today. See, we got to see what the Creator was doing with him. I know people want to jump on the fact that in the end of his life, he got caught up and for these wives or these concubines. He built these shrines and these temples to these false deities. But how many of us think about that's the route he had to go in order to accumulate the wisdom that we're reading about today? It's not a pretty picture. Solomon in his latter end. But see, what the Most High helps me to see, and I'm sure some of you within the hearing of my voice, you can agree, you can attest to this. We have to live life in order to learn it. We're not going to be shielded from the difficulties and the problems of the world. We have to experience them. Anybody that's married, all of the issues that you go through within a marriage, you need to go through these. If there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. You think about it, you know, you think about what we learned in our marriage classes, you know, and when we first get married for that first 2 years, how that's the honeymoon stage. In other words, that's the time for it when, you know, you can see a lot of things that a person is doing that you don't like, but at the moment, you are in love. And you're blinded by that love. But after a few years, when that new smell wear off, y'all know what that new smell is when you get something brand new and it smells new, but at some point it doesn't smell new anymore. See, that's what happens in marriage. That new smell wears off, and then we start to see things just a little differently that we don't like. And that's where the nitpicking starts to begin. See? Now, every little thing starts to get under your skin because you realize I got to be with this person for the rest of my life. But three stacks say forever, forever, ever, forever, ever. And with many people, which is one of the reasons why the divorce rate is so high, they call it quits. They cut and run, only to get involved with somebody else, go through the honeymoon stage again, and hit that very same point. And guess what? End it, cut and run, and now you got what they call today a serial monogamist. See? When you think about humanity, every human being has that potentiality of being a harlot, men and women. Yeah, men too. I remember years ago, Houdini, they had a song out. I'm a hoe, you know I'm a hoe. I rock three different freaks after every show. But they were boasting about it, see? But they were at the same time acknowledging, hey, that's what I am. I'm a hoe. But see, from the male perspective, he said, man, you got a lot of women. You get dapped up for that. But from the female perspective, they said, that's filthy. That's nasty. That's dirty. You know, but nowadays, you know, because of feminism and women power, they say ain't nothing wrong with being a hoe. You know, matter of fact, I've heard people use the phrase, you know, during my hoe phase. Really? And we've normalized these things. You know why? Because this is the norm. Mankind ain't doing nothing different from what mankind does. So Shlomo comes along and he says, nothing makes sense. Or, of course, we know, vanity of vanities. When you think about something that's vanity, you're talking about something that's empty. There's nothing in it. Listen to what he says. He says, nothing makes sense. Everything is nonsense. I have seen it all. Nothing makes sense. It's, you know, from this version, it's like he gets to the point where he about to pull his hair out. Well, Abba brought him to that point. Whatever it is that Brother Shlomo was going through in his life, it brought him to this realization. And this is what we have to understand about the prophet. See, the way the Creator works, it's not that he's going to sit and just whisper things for you to write in your ear and you just writing them down. In some instances, of course, that's how revelation works. But when you talk about something along the lines of this writing, Abba has been teaching him and preparing him through whatever it is that he's experiencing, and he's living, and he's getting whatever it is that he's got, materialistic wealth, and he just splurges. You know, if I can get it, I'm getting it. And he basically says that in this writing, and eventually we'll get to that. Not tonight, of course, but again, my point being, we're going to be going through Ecclesiastes next term around for Blog Talk Radio. You want to see some of these things because he just talking practical teachings. That's all it is. See the world for what it really is through the eyes of the Most High. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. Everything that we doing out here for what? So what you won the Super Bowl? So what you won the NBA championship? So what you won an Emmy or an Oscar or a Tony? What difference does it make? What benefit is it? All it's going to do is sit up and be a piece of furniture on your shelf. But there is something that does make a difference. You know, you got some people who believe life is meaningless. You know, this is the philosophical teaching of absurdism. And that's where I was looking at it. That's the way I was looking at it earlier today, or yesterday now. Absurdism. Meaningless. It's pointless. That's because you don't know what the meaning of life is. And why don't you know what the meaning of life is? Because you have rejected the giver of life. Humanity was created for a purpose, not purposeless. There's a reason why we were created. There's a reason why he even allowed the adversary to have dominion over humanity. There's a reason for that. But, you know, time of instant gratification. And if I can't get anything from it right now, I don't want nothing to do with it. You see? That's where you get ministers talking about, well, I ain't waiting for no pie in the sky. I want mine now. So he gives it to him now. You see? And people of this mindset, even though the very Bible that they claim to believe in, the very mighty one that they claim to have faith in, says, if anybody thinks that gain is godliness, turn away from them. It ain't based on how much money you got. It ain't based on your wealth, because that's the thing now. Everybody chasing the bag, chasing the bag. We can chase the bag. But at the end of chasing the bag, what benefit is it? Every multi-billionaire, name one, is going to look at his watch for the last time one day. And at that moment, he looked at his watch for the very last time. And as the King James Version say, he give up the ghost, then what? And this is not even a doom and gloom message. This is reality. Then what? You accumulated billions of dollars throughout the course of that dash we often talk about. Billions. Anything and everything you ever wanted, ever dreamed of was at your disposal. But when it's time to punch out, now what? What was it all for? What do you get as a result? So now you have this doctrine, this philosophical teaching of absurdism, so people don't have, you know, life is meaningless. Life is pointless. You live and then you die. What they say, life is a you know what, then you die. Well, where do you think that phrase comes from? And then you have that phrase, life is this, and then you die. But then on the flip side, you have this phrase, YOLO, you only live once. So guess what? You only got one life to live. Live it up. Have fun. And so I'm a live my life. I'm a live my life. It is your life for a moment. But at some point, that breath that you said is yours, according to Holy Scripture, it's going to return to who it really belongs to. Then what? See? Then what? Everybody going to have a sad song to sing. And that line, I'm talking about is going up to judgment. They will have a sad song and a sad story to tell. But see, what they don't realize is that they made a choice. And the creator of the heavens and the earth gave each and every human being that choice. You think Abba got an issue with you living your life? He respects that. I believe somebody put on a text earlier today that they're not lukewarm. Exactly. Abba ain't mad. Abba rather for you to be hot or cold. He don't like you dancing around and be lukewarm. Got a little bit in the hot, a little bit in the cold. Now you lukewarm. He don't want that. Make a choice. I respect it. That's like Eliyahu said. If Baal is mighty one, go ahead and follow him. Worship him. But if Yahweh is mighty one, follow him. Stop dancing back and forth. Stop going, you know, like he said, halting between two opinions. Stop doing that and make a decision. So some people are going to choose to live their life because you only live one. And when you live in your life and you only live one and you look at that watch for the last time, guess what? You chose to do what you wanted to do. Appreciate it. You lived your life. But don't focus on or don't count on telling a sad story when you're in that line walking up to the judge to get that final verdict, because you lived your life. You see? And Abba ain't got no problem with us living our life. But see, this is where we have to make a choice. Do we want? Do we love life so much that we want to keep it going? Or is this enough? You see? And then when we say about this enough, see, to me, let me share something with y'all. I'm still working on some things. And what I mean by that, as far as death, it's going to happen. There's absolutely nothing that I can do to prevent it. I know it's down the road. I don't know how far down the road. Most High willing, I'm going to turn it back on my brother, say, Most High willing, I'll give me 120 years. I'll be thankful if I can just get to 70, like you said in the Word. But I have to accept whatever he gives me, you know. But see, with death, there's that mystery. Because we have faith that it's going to be this way, but then there's always that little, oh my goodness, the thought of just not being here. Because this all we know, this physical world, this is all we know. So even when it comes to receiving that reward, what's that going to be like? It's mysterious. We don't know. We get little glimpses of it, like Brother Shaul said. We see in part right now. So we read Revelation, and we talk about the streets of glass. And, you know, it's like it's gold, but it's the kind of gold that you can see through where that substance don't exist in this realm. So we have to use that imagination to try to figure out what this is going to be like. And we hear about the 12 different gates of pearl. And we hear about all these things, and we read about all these things, but we can just imagine what it is, but we don't know. Hold up, brother, what you saying? You don't believe in the Word? Of course I believe in the Word. That's what we're talking about. But if I'm being real with you all, there's a part about dying that's still mysterious. And that scares me. I'm talking about myself. That scares me. So if I have the opportunity, you know, to do something during this dash, and this is where the faith comes in, because we have to believe this. You know, and see, when you think about faith, people think faith is supposed to be blind. You're just going into it blind. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Creator doesn't want us to blindly believe in him. How can we substantiate that? Well, there's several examples. Look at Gideon. He called Gideon, right? Gideon said, okay, I ain't got a problem leading your army, but this, I need you to do something for me. See, I got this fleece. This is what I need you to do for me, because I just want to make sure before I go into this battle, I want to know for certain you're going to be with me. So I got this fleece right here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put it down, and overnight when I wake up, I want the fleece to be wet, and I want all the ground around it to be dry. No problem. I handle that. Bam, he did it. Okay, that's what's up. All right, I got you. All right. But I hope you don't be mad at me now, because I know you handled that. You did what you said you was going to do. But I need another favor from you. See, this time what I need you to do, I want the fleece to be dry and all the ground around it to be wet. I don't have no problem with us doing that. I don't want us to be intelligent, contrary to what people saying out there. You know, and it's funny because when you think about the Hebrew language and what we've learned in regard to the Hebrew language being a concrete language, the Creator made it that way. You know why? Because he wants his word to be relatable. He wants us to be able to understand what he's saying based on our human experience. That's why the history is there. That's why we have all the different narratives. That's why Mashiach gave those types of parables. And when you look at the entirety of Holy Scripture, the entirety of Holy Scripture is a parable, if you understand what I'm saying. Reading the life of Abraham, there's something beneath that he's teaching us. That's a parable. It actually happened, but it's a parable. Guess what? Our lives are parables. Even though we live in our lives, we doing our thing, whatever, whatever, but guess what? There's an underlying meaning even to our lives. I've just got to open our minds to see that. There's so much that the world is missing out on. See, they think they know. See, what the adversary has to do, he has to give them something that they can relate to. I'm sorry, I just got a text. I'm just checking to make sure, okay, I'm still on the line. Making sure everything's good. Oh, got a second witness. Okay, hallelujah. So, again, the adversary, what he has to do, he has to give them something so that they believe that they have something. And I'm saying this in relation to the knowledge of the Most High. Basically, it's just fragmented. That's what we got to understand, the knowledge of the Creator. So you're going to hear a little bit of truth here and there, you know. But what the issue is, people don't have the Creator to give it solidarity. And what I mean by that is this. I came across a video, right? And this brother, he was basically saying this. The days of the week don't exist. The month don't exist. Years don't exist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I understand his point. See, I understand his point. See, what he's talking about is, think about space. Take away the sun, moon, and the stars, because that's what calculates time for us, right? Take that away. What do you have? You said, just imagine all straight daylight. Let's look at it that way. There's never darkness. There's never rain. There's never nothing. It's just straight brightness. He's talking about just that existence. See, that is a reality. That is a truth. But the way he's perceiving that truth is incorrect, because time does exist for us, because there's a time that we are born and there's a time that we shall die. The brother that said that, at some point he didn't exist. And at some point in the future, he ain't going to exist again, just like every one of us. But the adversary, again, he gives people these glimpses and these little fragments of truth, and they grasp onto it, and they dispense in this truth, and there's a reality to it, but it's corrupted. Abba does, by way of his word, he puts it back together. You see? All the adversary has, because remember, he's not the creator. Yah is, through his word, of course. So again, all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding comes from our Heavenly Father. All of it. That means everything that the adversary knows, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, everything he knows, he got from Abba too. So what he does, he fragments that knowledge, and he breaks it up, and he scatters it all around. But what Israel does, they go around and they pick that knowledge up, that piece of truth. And I'm going to show you where this belongs in a bigger picture. Why do you think he scattered his people throughout the four corners of this world? Abba is a mathematician. And I only say that to emphasize intellectual Abba is. We can't outthink him. Adversary can't outthink him. He's already 10 steps ahead. He already knows the adversary next move, and he's already moved 5 times before that. When we got the connection to him, he helps us to see these things. But we have to have that connection. That takes me to something we talked about in the priesthood lesson. Think about it. Why is it that the priesthood comes from Lewi? See? And when you break that down to its parent root, you have the lamed and you have the rav. The lamed is to lead, and that rav is the connection. Lead to a connection. Who's the connection? We're being led to the connection. Who's the connection? I didn't say this on that, but I can say it to you all. We understand who that rav is. That rav represents Mashiach Yahusha. That's who that rav represents. Y'all remember what Abba taught us? The name Yod, Hey, Rav, Hey, down for us? How he took that Yod and he said, you just move that to the side because that represents the Father. And then you left with the Hey, the Rav and the Hey. And then that first Hey represents Yahweh Elohim. You see? And that's why you have certain names. For example, the name that we looked at, you had Yuchavet, which is spelled with the Yod and the Rav at the beginning, but then originally it would have been Yod Hey Rav, Yahu Chavet. But the reason why the hay is dropped off and you're left with the rav is because Yahweh Elohim is going to be taken out of the way. Come the rav. Because it was necessary. Why? Because sin and the power that sin had over humanity had to be defeated. Why? Because it was the sin that separated us from the Most High. So he created a system to remove the sin, that is by the blood of Yahusha. So he became that law. And guess what? As a result of him going away, which he said it was expedient for him to go away, he said, I'm going to send that comforter. And guess what the comforter is? None other than himself in the form of that last hay which we possess by way of Ruach HaKodesh, you see? So when you look at the tribe Lewi, the lamed connects to the rav, you see? And then if you look at the name lamed rav yod, because the lamed connects us to the rav, and guess what? The rav connects us to the yod, which is the father, which we talked about first, the first letter of yod, hey, rav, hey. That's Abba's word right there. He made that up. He put that together. I didn't make it up. I'm just telling y'all what he told me. It's all I can do. That's his word. That word existed long before I was even thought of. But he put it that way in his wisdom to teach us the meaning of life is. See? Humanity exists for a reason. What did he tell us in that word? If I could have somebody to answer me, I would, but let me just answer for y'all. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That's the meaning of life. Right there. But in order for humanity to get to that, you know what had to happen? I've already created sons of Elohim with eternal life. The Malachim. There's no angel that was created that's dead now. Every last angel that was ever created is still alive, still in existence. Now, when the time comes, they will receive their judgment and their currently eternal life will be taken away. But guess what? When their eternal life is taken away, guess who he got to replace it? The sons and daughters of Israel. Trust and believe, family. Abba know what he's doing. This is his system. There is a meaning to this. There is a reason behind this. The adversary will have you thinking that there's no meaning, that it's absurd to think there's anything. That's okay, because one day you're going to look at that watch, you're going to close them eyes, and at the same time you close your eyes from this reality, you're going to be awakened to the true reality. Then what? Oh, you're saying all that now, talking about this one. I'll take my chances. Take your chances. That's what choice is. He's given us that. Take your chances. So let's get back to what Shlomo. See, this is what Shlomo realized. Like, we're still in the beginning, right? Where we stop? Ecclesiastes chapter 1. He says, waiting for my computer to boot back up. I don't know what happened, but give me a moment, Sam. All right. He says, again, let's start from verse 1. When the son of Dawid was king of Jerusalem, he was known to be very wise, and he said, nothing makes sense. Everything is nonsense. I have seen it all. Nothing makes sense. What is there to show for all of our hard work here on this earth? Think about that. And when you think about what people say they have to show for it, right? A big house, a fleet of cars, wall full of expensive piles of money in the bank, or things that you do to have helped somebody, you know, community centers, recreation centers, hospitals that you happen to put your name in because you want everybody to know that you're responsible for donating the money for this particular wing of the hospital, which is a good thing. Homeless shelters, those are good things. But even after all that, because see, with all of that being said, a person can do that, and as we learn, you can give your body to be burned. You can give all that you have to the poor and still not have love. After all of that, what do he ask you? What is there to show for all our hard work here on this earth? See, now, let's look at this question another way, right? When we ask that question, think about it from this perspective. What is it that we have to show for all of our hard work? Now, the hard work that I'm referring to is this, the hard work of submitting to Adonai and resisting the devil that he flee from us. That's hard work. How many of you can agree with that? Living this life, being a man, I'm speaking for myself now, right? I found myself tending to look at more women these days. I love women. For some time, I had a wife. I didn't have to worry about those desires because I had a wife. Now that I don't have a wife, my eyes start to roam. But you know what I have to do? To resist that temptation. Now, I know a couple of brothers in the congregation can attest to that, those who don't have wives, the single brothers. I feel your pain now. I understand. You know, it's easy to say you understand when you come home and you got a woman to come home to, but when you had a woman to come home to for so long, now there's no woman to come home to, and you long to have that intimacy. I feel that pain. So my point is this. It's hard work. So what do I have to show for all my hard work? Well, the thought is the kingdom of the heavens. See? That's what I have to show for it, you know. To hear the Creator say, well done. See, we want to flip that a little bit. He said, well done, son. So we don't want to just look at well done, good and faithful servant. Because he said, I don't call y'all servants anymore. I call y'all friends. Well done, buddy. Again, sometimes that imagination of ours, right? Sometimes I envision, you know, dying, and then you closing your eyes to this world and waking up to the next world, and then just imagine all the saints standing around as you, you know how you look when you're waking up, and you just opening up your eyes, and then, you know, things look a little blurry, a little fuzzy, and then eventually you get your eyes open, and then you realize that people around you are just clapping. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And just imagine, now I'm not, let me say this, it's a disclaimer. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm telling y'all how I envision stuff sometimes. Oh, what am I saying? Oh, brother so-and-so said that when you die and when you wake up on the other side, they're going to be around you clapping and saying, no, I'm not saying that. This is how I envision it. Just imagine that, though. I want to hear that. You know, I pray that we all have that experience. If it's something that's doable, Abba, we open our eyes to the other side. You know how they start that slow clap? Because they didn't start clapping yet because they want you to open your eyes first. And you know how you get that one person to start clapping? And then everybody else start to follow suit. And then it start to pick up pace. Then they start saying the praises to the Most High. See, that's what our hard work is going to earn us. What the adversary wants us to do is not believe that. Because if you don't believe that, guess what you're susceptible to? Everything he has to offer. Everything. See? Which is why that other passage was sent out earlier this week. See, the adversary, he's been given the authority, the dominion of this world system. So he can tell Mashiach, he can take him to the highest height, he can show him the kingdoms of the world, he can offer that. It's his to offer. But check this out, though. This is the boss move right here. It's his to offer, and we the infiltrator. Abba, so will it, son, I'm going to bless you with millions. And guess who can't touch it? That old serpent. Ain't nothing he can do. What he going to do? He may, you know how you got that one person that want to say something, that they be about to say something, and then they get that look and they just keep their mouth shut. See, in your system, I'm going to raise my people up, and there's nothing you can do about it. See, that's how we got to look at this thing. People got this thing all twisted. They think people back in the old days was righteous, and now they became corrupt. No, they always been corrupt. Ain't nothing different. There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing different. You always had the majority of the people corrupt, and you always had a few people striving to do the right thing. That has always been the case. It has never been different. Only thing we have different is technology today. That's it. The human condition is exactly the same. Nothing has changed. Nothing. You still have that faithful few against that great majority who is off doing the wrong things. You know, people got it in their mind that this country was a righteous country. How are you going to be righteous enforcing slavery upon somebody? Get out of here with that. You were never a righteous country when you took another human being and reduced them to an animal. That's righteous? That wasn't righteous. It was unrighteous. And I'm not blaming them, because we understand that the reason why that happened is because Abba ordained it so. Okay? So we trust and believe that. But don't try to flip it and make it seem like these were some righteous or good Christian people. No, they were not. They were evil. He says, let's get back. He says, three again, what is there to show for all of our hard work here on this earth? People come and people go, but still the world never changes. You hear that? The world went on, you know, the world goes on as it has always been. You know, like I mentioned earlier, going to the clubs and all this type of stuff. You don't think they had something similar to that then? They have people playing music at their lavish parties and stuff like that. They had drinking. They had drugging. They had orgies. They had all of that stuff. Ain't nothing changed. It's nothing different. People look at us as if we're better. We're not better. We just have more ways to sin. Instead of somebody being right in front of you, you think about going to see a what do they call those things? A peep show or something like that. Well, you ain't got to go down on a block to see a peep show. All you got to do is log in and put it up on your computer screen. And you can get all the peep shows you want. They made it easier to do these things. Nothing's different. And I believe that's one of the points that I was trying to help his people to understand. In this world system, nothing's different. Things remain the same. This is what Brother Shlomo talking about. He says, verse 5, the sun comes up, the sun goes down, and hurries right back to where it started from. Isn't it doing the same thing? And speaking of the sun, y'all notice how the days are getting longer? You ain't got to fool around with the time, and we already know this, but I still like to remind you all, the days are getting long. I remember it was getting dark around between 4:30 and 5, getting dark around 5. I mean, start getting dark around 5. Then start getting dark around 4:45. Then it became 5:30. Now it's about 6:00. You see? And I want to also remind you all, start paying attention to how long of the time we have during the day and how long of the time we have during the night. And start looking for the equinox. It's coming. This is a natural marker. It's coming. Keep your eyes open for these things. Why do you think we teach these things? Abba give us a word to teach the congregation with the hope that the congregation practice it. You got to watch these things for yourself. Why? So that you know for yourself that what you have been taught is the truth. That's why. Somebody question you about it, you don't have to say, well, brother so-and-so said, or move away so-and-so said. No, because the word says, and I saw, and this is what the truth is. That's why you're supposed to watch these things. Pay attention. He says, again, the sun comes up, the sun goes down. It hurries right back to where it started from. The wind blows south. The wind blows north, round and round it blows over and over again. You hear what I'm saying? The wind ain't making no new moves. It's doing the same thing that it has always done. You see that? So Shlomo, at this point in his life, he's realizing that. And he's starting to question these things. So Abba lead him along, opening his understanding, so that he can put this down for us in this generation, so that when we come to that realization, now we know that Abba's word is true. Not because, well, I read it in the Bible, and the Bible said that, you know, sanctify them, do that truth, thy word is true, and, you know, because it says that the word is true, I believe that the word is true, so there you have it. No, he wants you to believe the word is true because it's real, it's reality. Not just because you read it in the book. But hold up, brother. What about faith? Faith is not supposed to be blind. Abba wants us to know his word is the truth because we learned it from our experience. That's what he wants us to know. Not just because somebody said so in a book. We experienced it for ourselves, and we know it to be a truth. A truth. That's what he wants. Verse 7, all rivers empty into the sea, but it never spills over. One by one, the rivers return to their source. See, what are you hearing in that? Everything is based on a cycle. But here's the thing about the cycle, though. And see, especially with us, within the cycle, you have what's called growth and development. Abba led us that way. Growth, development. Look at human beings. Look at little brother Zion. I remember going to his circumcision. He was only 8 days old. Look at him now. I remember my son's circumcision. Look at him now. I remember the little sisters, the little Clapperton girls, the little Barrett girls. I remember them. When y'all was born, y'all don't even know. Brother was looking at y'all. Y'all didn't even know the brother was looking at y'all. Y'all didn't understand. Look at y'all now, young women. Growth, development. Look at some of my brothers. You know, I got a picture on my phone when we went to a party over at Brother Ariel's house. All nice little short beards, looking all young, looking all smooth. Look at us now. We still smooth, though. But we got that little salt and pepper gray on there now. You know, got a little edge with us now. Same with my sisters. I remember my sister, young sisters coming into the faith. Still beautiful, but you can see the age by way of them graves, by way of that wisdom. See, your face changes. But see, like they say, that black don't crack. That's truth. Well, let me say, it depends on how you live in your life. And if you live in your life the way that Abba wanted to live our life, that black don't crack. But in the course, and I'm mentioning all of that to say this, to make this point about the growth and development. All of these different cycles is doing the same thing. The sun doing what it does, the rivers doing what they do, the wind does what it do. But in the process of it all, they are cyclical. But in the process of it all, we growing. See, thing that has life is growing. We don't stay infants. We don't stay toddlers. We don't stay teenagers. At some point, we become adults, young adults, middle-aged adults, elderly. We're growing. We're developing. And depending on where your mind is, determines the level of knowledge and wisdom and understanding that you're going to accumulate. And just imagine a life who is being led and guided by the Creator through His Spirit. What is it that you are going to acquire? You see? It's different. He says, verse 8, he says, all of life is far more boring than words could ever say. And it's like, When I read this, that's why I chose this version. Hallelujah, Bishop, Yahusha, Hamashiach. That's how I was feeling early. Oh, and then I guess irony of it all is I was on a treadmill. And it's like, think about it. You're walking, but you ain't going nowhere. I mean, that's the thought about it. And I understand it's a form of exercise, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? But it's like walking and you're just moving in the same space. You ain't making no progress. And I think it's interesting that while I was there, thinking back at this moment that I'm talking to y'all right now, how Abba set that up. And he was helping me to see that's what this life is. People doing all of these things outside of him, taking them nowhere. People think what success is having a whole bunch of money. That ain't success. That's success based on the world standpoint. but what's success based on the creative standpoint? Because something that we learned years ago is about how we should learn to be content in whatever state we're in. Think about that. Who can do that? That's a hard thing. But think about a person who mastered that. And guess what? They got a philosophy that specifies or specializes just in that mentality for people who believe that. Okay. Getting the text and just checking my text. Get back to this passage because that text threw me off for a moment. Again, all of life is far more boring than words could ever say. Our eyes and our ears are never satisfied with what we see and hear. Think about that. Think about it. I mean, sometimes, I mean, in your quiet time, when you having your conversations with Alpha, and I you say that so much. Think about this. Think about that. Yeah, it's a lot y'all got to think, or it's a lot we have to think about. We have to consider. But guess what? You can utilize nice little pieces of time throughout the day and dedicate that time to talking to Abba. You know? We got the time. Verse 9, he said, we just went through this. Everything that happens has happened before. Think about that. Nothing new happening in this world. Nothing is new. Nothing under the sun. Someone might say, here is something new, but it happened before, long before we were born. No one who lived in the past is remembered anymore, and everyone yet to be born will be forgotten too. Think about that. So that's where the idea is. Life is, you know what? Then you die. So what people want to do now, okay, I want to make my mark in the world. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to donate a whole bunch of money because I'm going to be a philanthropist. And I'm going to put my name on all these different wings around the hospital so nobody forgets who I am. But truth be told, I don't know who Weinberg is. Truth be told, I see that name on daggone there every hospital I go in. I have not the faintest idea of who that person is, and no disrespect, I don't even care. No disrespect, and guess what? When I pass away, it's going to be people who have no idea about it. You know? The only ones who may have some idea is the people that's close to me, but the people that don't know me, they have no concern about my passing. I meant nothing to them. Easy for people to eventually forget, you know? And that's hurtful to me in a way because I'm thinking about, you know, losing my wife again, and there's something I did, and eventually I'm going to have to get rid of it. Slowly but surely. But I have a bag of her clothes. And I put them in a bag because I wanted it to capture her scent. Because we all have a scent. You know? And it's not about odor or bad odor. It's just everybody has an individual scent, which is one of the reasons why when somebody on the run, if they got one of your belongings, a piece of your belongings, something that has your smell on it, they give it to the dogs, and the dogs, because they have a strong sense of smell, they can track you down because they can follow that scent. Because, and think about that. For a dog to be able to track you down, that means when you're moving, your spirit is leaving the trail. That's what it's your spirit. It's the spirit of us that has the scent. Well, how can you say? Because you can smell it, and what you smell it? You smell in the air. And when you hear my voice, you're hearing my spirit. So not only do I have a scent, my voice has a particular sound. So not only are you going to recognize a person by the sound of that voice, you're going to recognize a person by their scent All of that's spiritual. See, and when we understand what eternal life is, that's what we're going to have. So we be in the kingdom together, you're going to hear that voice, and you're going to know who that is. And then when we embrace, yep, that's him, or that's her. But anyway, point being is this. I have a bag of my wife's clothes, and I keep them. Because part of me feels like I don't want to forget her. But the reality is I'm forgetting her. She's always going to be a part of my life. I mean, I got her pictures all over the place. She's always going to be remembered. But if you understand what I'm saying, I can listen to something and I can hear her voice. You know, we have all these little things we can do today, but at some point, it becomes less, and it becomes less. And it's like it's a slow process, but she's being torn from me. And that's what happens with everybody. Same thing happened with my son. What we have to go through. This is what life is. And, I talked to an acquaintance of mine years ago and asked him how he was doing, and he told me that he was living life according to life's terms. And I never forgot that. So that's what we have to do. We have to live life according to life's terms. And sometimes in life you lose a person. And in the course of losing that person, slowly but surely, that person is being ripped away from you. But this is what we have to deal with, This is our lot. So he says, verse 11 again, no one who lived in the past is remembered anymore. And everyone yet to be born will be forgotten too. Because, even when we look at Shlomo, what do we really know about Shlomo? But his name and the things that he wrote. If Shlomo stood right in front of us, we wouldn't know that's who that was. There's nothing that we have to remember other than the words. And then what we understand as far as these words, even though Shlomo was the vessel that was used, these are the words that the Creator inspired him to write through his experiences, Stop right here. I'm going to stop right here for the night and let y'all get back to y'all evening, because it's 9 o'clock. And I don't want to keep y'all too long. So I pray that I will bless each and every one of you throughout the course of this month, that we are all prepared to enter into Abib. It is knocking at the door, fam. And before we know it, Pesach will be here, and we will be rededicating ourselves to Brit HaKadosha, to that new covenant. Through Mashiach Yahusha. Hallelujah. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, I pray that the word that you delivered this evening be engraved upon our hearts and our minds, that it provide the power that we need to be transformed for you. We humbly and we sincerely ask these things in Yahusha HaMashiach's holy and his most precious name. Hallelujah.
Know of a surety. shall enslave and oppress them for 400 years, in the fourth and in the last generation. Yes, you shall journey into captivity a second time in ships. Because you have rejected his instructions,